Chapter 87. Orlin.
"A lot of good that flaming wizard's horn did us," Baldur shouted. "What's the point in having a way to signal a wizard if he doesn't even show up?"
Orlin, Veldon, and Faeldor held the front line, standing side by side as they fought to hold back the Bol-Hradur. How they managed to stave off death so far was nothing short of a miracle. Each of the Bol-Hradur carried some kind of fire-conjured weapon, sword, whips, flail, even an axe. The strange armaments seemed able to cut through anything, and the heat they put off was nearly as bad as Veldon's fire. Orlin couldn't see how they were going to come out of this alive, other than Veldon's rusty old sword, which he had kept as a souvenir from the time his great-grandfather had served in the Sidaran Lancer Regiment. Orlin was the only one to have a physical weapon, and it was just a staff. But it was no ordinary staff. The transferal crystal wedged into the top of the wood brightened as he blocked another of the Dark Wielder's attacks. Sparks of burnt orange and bluish-green shot into the air as the flame and wood connected with a searing hiss. The arcane runes interwoven around the outer edge were as radiant as the Bol-Hradur's sword. Back and forth they parried, striking, lunging, blocking, and circling around to start the cycle over again. In one of those brief respites between attacks, Orlin thanked his father for all those years of training he had been forced to endure as a child. It seemed his instincts hadn't dulled too much over the years. His arms were growing heavy, though. It didn't help that he hadn't had a full night's rest or a decent meal in days, but he was still alive, and with every breath of that life, he was going to keep fighting. A few steps away, Veldon and Faeldor fought as a single unit. The portmaster's fire roared in bouts and in waves, and sometimes in balls no bigger than the size of his fist, while Faeldor cast volleys of hardened air to block the Bol-Hradur's returning fire, as well as counter-parry their magical weapons. Orlin spun the butt-end of his quarterstaff downward to keep his opponent's blade from taking off his left leg. He could feel the heat emanating from its fire. Flipping the end back up, he thrust it directly in the man's face, forcing the wielder to dodge and move back. It was a fairly obvious move, but Orlin needed time to think. His opponent was much younger and more agile than he had been, even 20 years ago. He had to try something different. Lowering his staff, he ducked underneath another lunging assault aimed for his neck. He could feel the heat passing overhead. Quickly, Orlin shook the sweat from his eyes. As the Bol-Hradur recovered his missed swing to prepare for another, Orlin reached into one of his many pockets and threw a handful of ground valerian into the man's face. As soon as the powder hit his eyes, the Bol-Hradur yelled in pain. His weapon lowered as he desperately attempted to rub the blinding substance with his free hand. Orlin didn't wait around for him to recover. Hefting his staff with both hands, he pivoted on his back leg and swung with all his might. There was a loud crack, and the Bol-Hradur's skull split like an old gourd. The Dark Wielder spit blood, and his sword dropped from his hands. Whatever magic had created the impressive blade of flame vanished as soon as it left the Dark Wielder's hands. The hilt hit the ground, its wielder soon after. Orlin leaned over and picked up the hilt, hoping the weapon would work for him as well. No such luck.
"Orlin, behind you!"
Orlin spun at the sound of Freya's warning, in time to see the spiked ends of a large mace swinging in his direction. As fast as he could, he raised his staff, but his counter was too slow. He managed to keep the spikes from embedding in his skull, but the deflection sent it tearing through his left shoulder instead. The impact threw him backwards. He cried out as the excruciating pain tore through the left side of his body. Orlin landed on his face, the air completely expelled from his lungs. With a hit like that, he knew he was done for. Still gripping the rune-covered staff to his chest, Orlin rolled to his back. There was blood pouring from his arm. He could see bone from where the flesh had been ripped away. Behind him, Freya jumped to her feet. She and Reloria had been crouching in front of the barrack stables while Gilly was using his magic to do something with the water in the horse's trough. The young healer ran across the yard, not giving the first thought about what the Bolvardur's weapon would do to her if she got within reach. Orlin opened his mouth to tell her to go back, but he couldn't catch his breath. He shook his head and tried waving her off, but he knew it wouldn't do him any good. Above everything else, Freya was a healer, and like most healers, she put others before herself. Dropping to her knees, she slid to a stop beside him. Finally catching his first unhindered gulp of air, Orlin tried to push her away, but his arms were too weak.
"Get out of here, Freya!"
"No, he'll kill you."
The Bolvardur was only steps away.
"I'm already done for, child. Get back to the others."
Orlin tried pushing her away again, but she ignored him, and instead laced her hands across his gaping shoulder. He hollered at the pain as she released her magic into him. His eyes bulged as he felt a wash of ice flood through his body, nearly taking his breath away all over again.
"I see you found your staff after all, old man."
Orlin recognized the approaching Bolvardur as the wielder he had first encountered in his shop the week before. The Bolvardur, with his slicked back hair, sneered as he let his great mace swing from his side. It seemed to be counting down the time Orlin had before he met his end. Orlin struggled to lift his staff, but it was no use. He didn't have the energy to even lift its weight on his chest.
"Hate killing something so pretty," the Bolvardur said, sending a lecherous glance in Freya's direction. "But we can't have you healing him, now can we?"
The wielder pivoted on his heels to get a better swing and raised the mace over his head. Freya never even flinched, clearly too determined to see Orlin healed, even at the cost of her own life. Orlin knew what was coming and closed his eyes. He waited for the impact. But instead of hearing the sound of a sickening thud and feeling the spray of Freya's blood across the side of his face, it was the Bolvardur who howled in pain. Orlin opened his eyes in time to see the Dark Wielder drop his weapon. The conjured end disappeared. The Bolvardur twisted back around, and Orlin saw that he had a large, black-fletched bolt impaled through his right shoulder. Orlin turned his head to see who it was they owed their life to, and found an old, senile-looking man stepping out of a nearby doorway with an enormous double-bolt crossbow tucked to his chest.
"That'll teach you to mess with my friends," Eliab shouted.
Orlin's heart leapt at the sight of the old harbor house gatekeeper. Eliab moved out of the shadows and limped his way to the end of the open porch and fired off another round. The Bolvardur was ready this time. He weaved a quick deflection and sent the quarrel up and off to the right. Orlin wished he knew how to do that. Standing beside the old gatekeeper, Selina yanked another bolt from his quiver and handed it to him. After the council's daring rescue of the woman from the Black Watch, Orlin was surprised to see she had stuck around, let alone was willing to risk her life in a fight that wasn't really hers, considering she wasn't even a wielder. With the Bolvardur's attention momentarily split between trying to remove the arrow from his shoulder and blocking the ones being fired at him by Eliab, Orlin, with Freya's help, managed to recover enough strength to slowly crawl back towards the barrack stables, where Gilly was busy watching over Reloria. Finally giving up on pulling the bolt free, the Bolvardur snapped the shaft in half and pulled the remaining piece the rest of the way through. He leaned over with his other hand and collected the rune-etched hilt of his weapon. As soon as his fingers wrapped around the handle, its fire burst to life, and the mace's spiked ball raised into place. Orlan felt stronger. Whatever Freya was doing to him with her magic was clearly working. Being the apothecary that he was, he had never before allowed a healer to use magic on him, when the use of natural herbs would have sufficed. But now, he was starting to wonder why he'd never tried it before. The pain had lessened, and the muscle and skin were knitting back into place. He found he was able to move his shoulder. Freya dropped to her knees beside him, and hung an arm over the long trough where the little dwarf was stirring the water with his magic. Orlan tried to help the young healer, but was forced aside when Reloria pushed her way through.
"Here, I'll see to her. You go deal with those black vermin."
Orlan lifted himself to his feet and quickly tested his range of motion. He barely had time to see if everything was working before the slick-haired Bolrador charged their position. Orlan threw himself in front of the others and blocked the blazing weapon with his staff. The runes pulsed to life. With each strike of the Bolrador's mace, the ancient symbols brightened, demonstrating their ability to protect him. He hoped their power didn't run out at some point. The Dark Wielder, even though strong in his own right, had obviously never been taught the finer art of martial defense. And with a weapon such as the one he possessed, it was no wonder. Its magic seemed indestructible. So why would its wielder need to worry about such things as the proper placement of his hands to gain the most momentum while not losing his balance, or the suitable width and angle of his swing that would not leave his front exposed, or the way one should implement the natural use of a circular attack as opposed to a choppy, more direct engagement that left its wielder overextended?
"It's not the weapon that makes the warrior," his father used to say. "It's knowing how to wield it."
Orlan waited for the man to come back around with another wild swing. When he did, Orlan was ready. He dodged to the side and hit the man in his exposed sternum with a swift jab. The Bolrador doubled over, gasping for breath. Orlan spun his staff and landed a precise strike to the top of the man's wrist, forcing his hand to go lax and open. The mace fell from his fingers and winked out just as Orlan swept his legs out from under him and sent him to his back with a heavy grunt. Orlan raised his staff, but before he could spear thrust the butt end into the man's face, he was stopped by a single lash from the female Bolrador's whips as she reached for his head. It sounded like a crack of lightning as the tail end connected with his staff. The unexpected attack forced Orlan back toward the others, giving the downed Bolrador the chance to retrieve his weapon. Veldon and Faeldor were slowly herded back alongside Orlan by the other remaining Bolrador. The man on his right struck from one side with his sword, while the woman struck from the other, looking for an opening in Faeldor's shields. Her long black hair wafted around her face as she sent her strips of flame swirling through the air. The sound of her whips, as they cracked, was deafening. They were long enough to reach any one of them, including the three women. This time it was Gilly's quick reaction that saved their lives, as he raised his blue crystal and created a sheet of ice to block the attack. Reloria screamed. The Bolrador's whip had just skimmed the top of her pink bonnet and snapped one of the porch's post railings in half, bringing down part of the barracks' roof. The female Bolrador whipped her arm back for another try. Orlan moved to block the strike, but was forced backwards when his mace-wielding opponent decided to attack while his back was turned. Orlan dodged the first swing and spun to the left in order to draw him away from the others. Over the Bolrador's shoulder, Orlan could see Faeldor sending a fist of air careening into the side of the female Bolrador. She was sent tumbling sideways into the building, whose porch she'd just collapsed. She unleashed a single swing before crashing through one of the front windows. Her whip
caught him in the back. Faeldor hollered and went down. Orlin angled his staff and deflected the mace away from his head before coming back around with another strike that forced the Bolrador to take a couple of awkward steps to the side to miss getting struck in the face. Orlin took the brief break in fighting to glance at his friend. He couldn't tell how bad the injury was, or if indeed Faeldor was still alive. Reloria shrieked as she pushed her way past Eliab to get to Faeldor. The old glassblower might have been one of the most ornery, uncouth men Orlin had ever known, but Reloria seemed to care a great deal for him. In the quick glimpses afforded Orlin while he struggled to keep his rune-covered staff moving to block his assailant, he could see the others dragging Faeldor's body back toward the stables and away from the immediate battle. On his right, Veldon was struggling to hold the other Bolrador back as Freya knelt to work on Faeldor. The look in the portmaster's eyes said he wasn't going to be able to hold out much longer. They had been pushed nearly all the way back to where the others were huddled in front of the stables. Orlin could see Gilly out of the corner of his eye, keeping his trough of water moving, waiting to raise another protective sheet of ice if needed. Orlin swung low, and this time the Bolrador was barely able to block as he managed to catch the tip of Orlin's staff with his mace. The man was favoring his injured wrist. Orlin had no qualms about taking advantage of that fact as he forced him to defend his weaker side. There was a loud cracking noise, like the sound of wooden planks being bent under too much pressure, followed by an explosion of glass and debris. The fighters broke off their engagement to shield themselves from the flying fragments as the female Bolrador emerged from the building she had been thrown through. Her face was bruised and bleeding, and when she saw Faeldor lying on his back near the side of the barracks, she reignited her whips. She wiped the blood from her mouth and headed directly for the fallen man. Vengeance radiated with every step. There was nothing Orlin could do. He swung his staff back around and blocked an attempt on his side, then angled it up to keep the large mace from caving in the top of his head. He struck the weapon away with the end of his staff, and was about to backswing and catch the Bolrador on his injured side, when a loud shrill pulled him back. Just behind him, Reloria leaped to her feet from where she had been trying to nurse Faeldor, and charged the oncoming Bolrador. The look of surprise on the Dark Wielder's face at the sweet chop owner's unexpected rush was nearly a match for his own. Reloria was like a screaming banshee, her arms flailing all over the place, pink hat flying from her head, locks of hair waving out behind her. Orlin didn't want to watch what he knew was coming, but he couldn't seem to pull himself away. Orlin's opponent, having the same inclination, also waited for Aloria's gruesome end before continuing his attack. The female Bolrador lifted her arm. Her whip flew through the air, ready to cut Reloria in half. She was halfway through her swing when a huge spear of ice flew past the sweet shop owner and impaled the Bolrador through the chest, nailing her to the ground some 10 feet away. Her body slid backwards down the end of the frozen spike until she reached the dirt and went still. Both whips died in her hands. Orlin heard the little dwarf clap in victory. The two remaining Bolrador surged forward with a voracity that seemed unstoppable, no doubt desperate to put a quick end to the battle before another of their number died.
"Gilly, behind you!"
Reloria barely had time to warn them when Orlin heard Eliab's crossbow ring out. While they had been focusing on the Bolrador, the Black Watch had managed to sneak in behind them. Orlin heard the expected grunt of a man being pierced by one of Eliab's bolts, followed closely by the thud of his body hitting the ground. The rest charged. Orlin deflected the Bolrador's swing and smashed the top of the man's foot with a direct thrust, causing the wielder to lose balance. He countered with a hard strike to the side of the man's bad arm,
The Bolvador dropped his mace once again, and the fire winked out. The Dark Wielder dove for his weapon, but Orlin beat him to it as he brought the full force of his quarterstaff down across the top of the man's head, dropping him unconscious into the dirt. Orlin grabbed the man's flameless weapon and stuffed it in a pocket inside his robe before turning back to help the others. The trough was empty. Apparently Gilly had used what water was left to create his spike. Other than Eliab's short sword and Gilly's small dagger, not one of the others had a weapon. The harbour house gatekeeper and the unsociable dwarf bravely held the line, but not for long. Gilly was the first to go down. His short sword was raised to block one strike, but at the same time was hit by another. The poor dwarf didn't stand a chance. Eliab, on the other hand, wielded his blade like a master swordsman. The former captain of the Sedaran Guard slit the throat of one guard and skewered another before catching a thrust to his side. He cut the leg out from another before finally going down.
No!
Orlin glanced over his shoulder to see Reloria clutching her jeweled pendant in one hand. She raised her other in the direction of the oncoming rush. The armed men froze. Some of them actually tripped and went down as they spat, hacked, and vomited on the ground in front of them. Many were rubbing their tongues with the sleeves of their overcoats. Orlin could only imagine what someone as angry and as desperate as Reloria had caused them to choke on. Unfortunately, Captain Hatch wasn't long fooled.
"Get back in line, you sons of goats!"
he hollered, and kicked the dwarf's body out of the way as he rushed forward. Orlin changed direction and came to protect the women. There wasn't anything he could do for Gilly or Eliab now. Reloria and Selina stood in front of Freya as she worked to heal Faeldor, blocking her with their bodies. Just behind them, Veldon was still in combat with the remaining Bolvador. Both men looked to be near exhaustion. Orlin managed to get in front of the three women just as the first of the tower's guards reached them. He fought them off, at least those in front. He had a magical staff, but it was a weapon best used to defend against a single opponent, not 10. He took a cut to the arm and almost dropped it. A couple rocks flew past as the two women desperately reached for anything available. Orlin swung back and forth, trying to hold the men at bay, when a small dagger flew through the air and hit him in the shoulder. His staff dropped from his hands, and he went to his knees. He could hear both Reloria and Selina cry out behind him. Orlin couldn't believe it was going to end like this. He was proud of their counsel, though. They had fought against unbelievable odds. A single guard stepped forward and raised his sword over his head. Orlin kept his eyes open as he faced what he hoped would be a quick end. The guard swung for his neck, but the blade stopped with a clang just a few inches from his face, as if it had struck an invisible wall. The guard was stunned. Orlin was even more stunned when blood erupted from the guard's neck and covered the front of Orlin's robes. He watched as the man's throat ripped open the rest of the way. His screams were nothing but gurgled noises, and his eyes rolled into the back of his head before collapsing. Reloria and Selina shrieked in horror. The guards stopped their attack. Heads turned and eyes darted in every direction as they tried to understand what had just happened. A second guard suddenly cried out as his throat opened from ear to ear. Open panic ensued as men began to swing their blades in all directions, doing more damage to themselves than anything else. Others took off running, swearing curses on all who practiced magic.
"Get back here, you cowards!" Captain Hatch screamed.
The veins in his neck and face looked to be on the verge of exploding as his men turned and fled in all directions. Hatch raised his sword. Orlin could see the fires of hatred in his eyes as he charged Freya.
Orlin grabbed his staff and tried to get to his feet. A knife materialized from out of nowhere and plunged into Hatch's back. The captain stumbled, but was clearly too determined to stop. He lifted his sword and bellowed a battle cry. Reloria froze.
Freya!
Orlin moved to confront the Blackwatch captain, but Hatch kicked him backwards on his way by.
No!
Selina screamed, and leaped in front of the young healer, throwing herself between Freya and Hatch's driving thrust. Orlin watched as the captain's huge piece of steel slid in one side of her and out the other, missing Freya by only a hand's breadth. Hatch pulled the blade from Selina's chest, and her limp body fell backwards and landed on top of Freya, knocking her to the ground.
"That's one less bit of evil in this world," the captain said with pride as he turned and raised his sword over his head. "Now to end this once and—"
Hatch gasped for breath as a double-edged sword materialized out of thin air and ripped through the front of his white uniform. The captain had a look of confusion on his face as he dropped to his knees in front of Freya. His sword fell from his hand. He just sat there, looking at her. It was an awkward moment. He raised his head as a small woman with short white hair appeared beside him. He coughed up blood as his final breath was released. The captain's head lowered to his chest, and if not for the sword, he would have looked like a man in prayer. Orlin could have sworn he had seen a look of relief in the captain's eyes before he died. With the death of three of their own, and the Black Watch either dead or fleeing, along with the sudden appearance of an invisible wielder, the remaining Bulrador decided the odds weren't exactly stacked in his favor, and made a tactical retreat. The unconscious Bulrador Orlin had been fighting had apparently snuck off during their fight with the Black Watch, no doubt when he realized he no longer had a weapon. After checking to see if there was anything that could be done for Selina, Freya moved to help Orlin, but he pushed her off.
"Go see to Gilly and Eliab. Don't worry about me. I'll be here when you get back."
She nodded and headed for the old gatekeeper and the dwarf. Velden dropped down beside where Orlin was sitting. He saw Reloria lying unconscious on the ground beside Faeldor.
"Reloria?" "She's fine," Orlin said. "Just had a bit of a fainting spell."
Velden noticed the dagger sticking from Orlin's shoulder and reached over to pull it.
"No, no, no, let's wait for the healer." "Right, probably a good idea."
Velden studied the dagger a moment.
"Fine-looking handle, though."
Both men looked at each other and started to chuckle. Orlin started to cough.
"Don't make me laugh. Here, help me up."
Velden put a hand under Orlin's arm, and they managed to make it to their feet. They slowly headed over to where Freya was busy looking over their fallen comrades. To everyone's amazement, both men were still hanging on, though Eliab by only a thread. Freya started with the old gatekeeper, and then, with what strength she still had, she turned her attention to Gilly. The midget had apparently only sustained a slight cut on his right arm, and from there decided to play dead to stave off any further injuries. The ruse had worked. After removing Orlin's dagger, Freya had been far too weak to give any sort of full healing, but she did manage to close the wound enough to keep infection from setting in. Once her strength returned, she would continue. Orlin turned to thank the white-haired assassin for saving their lives, but Shiva had already vanished.
"I hope Kellen has managed to keep Ty safe," Velden said, rubbing the top of his bald head with his hand. "If it was this bad for us, I hate to think what is happening to them. We need to get some horses."
Orlin turned to the stables.
"I couldn't agree more."